I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away. Getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Five Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and I'm here with all the tools today. We got Nasty Nate Parker.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
I'm from Tatooine. We got Brandon Steaky Cheese, Coach Lumberg. Brandon, how's that new house?
It's all right. I'm trying to figure out how to get the internet to work better.
Nice.
Oh, and it's expensive. Big, huh?
Sweet.
I know, right? It's ridiculous.
The
rich get richer.
Substitute.
What it do, fellas? Look, I'm excited for the day. I ain't gonna bring the same energy Brandon and Nate giving us, but I ain't gonna lie, I didn't want to watch any football this weekend. I'm still recovering from, you know, my Cowboys being out. But
you would have chose the wrong weekend to skip watching
hell
football.
Yeah. Look, I'm not gonna lie. The game started. I'm like, man, screw these games. But then, you know, the love of football.
Tom Brady. Season ended. Much to the chagrin of Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown posting a hilarious meme with him shirtless
so
in the
petty.
End, some Bucks eliminated. I bet he's petty. This man's crazy. He claims that two teams have already reached out about him playing next year. Like, go see a psychologist. If you get that wrapped up, we'll bring you in next year.
Don't even Probably. Need to do that. I'd bring him in right now. Bring him in.
Yeah. Brandon, I don't think Antonio Brown believes in Antonio Brown as much as you do.
I don't know. I think Antonio Brown has the utmost confidence in himself.
That video is iconic of him sitting on the couch with Floyd Mayweather, Kanye, oh, yeah. Madonna, Demi Lovato. Like,
hey,
what?
Look, Antonio Brown will be the first person to tell you, like, hey, I got the biggest ego in the world. And 5 minutes later, say, I don't have an ego. You know, I do what's best for the team. Like,
I'm the most humble of all humble people.
Bring me someone else who's more humble than Antonio Brown.
And then they'd be like, AB, why'd you take your shirt off? He's like, because I was feeling way too sexy for it. Like, what the?
So my question is, who plays more career games from this point? Tom Brady or Antonio Brown?
That's a good one.
I think Tom Brady's got another 20 games in him.
20. That's an odd number.
Tom Brady probably has another five years.
That's a full season NFC Championship loss because he missed one game.
No.
He'll definitely.
Well, no, I gave him
17 games.
That's not true. I gave him a first round bye.
Nice.
Good call out.
Come on, bro.
That was good math on the fly right there.
I'd be really surprised if Antonio Brown gets brought in to another camp. I really would, man. Like, last two stops, he got booted off the team, and then he got booted off the team mid-game.
Yeah, I think he gets another stop. You know why? Because this incident isn't as bad as the previous incidents, right? So, like, that's, I guess,
sure?
A silver lining.
He took off his clothes to jump in Jack's in the end zone.
But he didn't call his head coach a racist, and he didn't attack the owner, and he didn't attack his quarterback.
No, so, he just attacked the entire
franchise.
He attacked
Tom Brady. He did on that podcast.
Yeah, but he apologized and was cool at the end. He didn't really apologize, but in a weird way.
Me. We're Listen, friends because,
Tom Brady
you know,
sucks,
to
but at the end of the day, great quarterback.
We're boys.
That's Antonio Brown for you.
He came back and said, Tom Brady and I are cool. Tom Brady is a real friend.
After he said, we're not friends. He literally said, we're not friends. Why am I getting paid like this if we're friends? He controls who gets paid.
It's the heat of the moment, man.
This is legitimately we're going to take off Antonio Brown's scalp one day. We're going to find out just how bad his brain is, like how bad.
And we're going to find out that there's nothing wrong.
Can you imagine?
What is going on here?
Like, legit, like, all right, he's crazy. It's cool.
This was real.
You know what? Honestly, I think there's one franchise that could bring him back. And I know this is a far-fetched take, but it would be the Bucks. Because of that relationship with Tom Brady.
Nate, shut up, dude. Antonio Brown is not coming back.
No, I don't think, like... I think we're underestimating how much Tom Brady cares for Antonio. Like, outside of just, like, outside of football.
I wouldn't say this is far-fetched, because Brady might be super calculated about coming back because of personnel. The coaching staff could be broken up because maybe Byron Leftwich leaves for a coaching job. And I think Brady's kind of thinking about that aspect of things. Let's just say you lose some personnel on offense, and then you end up with Brady saying, hey, we need
a guy. It's going to be like, hey, I'll come back, I'll do this final season, but you got to bring back AB.
These fools think that the Bucs are going to take Antonio Brown.
I'm saying it's not far-fetched.
It is far-fetched.
If Byron Leftwich leaves for a head coaching position, I wouldn't be surprised if you see Bill O'Brien slide right into that OC position.
Good call.
Yuck. Where do you see Antonio Brown landing anywhere, C?
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll be employed next year. If not during camp, I think he'll be employed.
He shouldn't be on him.
I'm with you, Brandon. I think he'll have a team for sure. But if not, for whatever reason, he's not on a team come training camp, I think he'll be on a team by week 5, week 6 next season at the absolute latest.
No, that's too long. I prefer the Saints. Like now.
Like now?
Saints. Antonio Brown and Michael Thomas? Ooh, that's tough.
Why not? Just can he put them together and see what happens.
He's a free agent, crazy. Right?
You run the slant. No, you run the slant.
He's a free agent now, right?
He got cut, so he's a free
agent. So
cleared waivers.
Technically, he could get signed by a team in the championships.
Technically, he could.
Yeah,
I think there's like a
Debo Samuel's out. Just drop Antonio Brown into that role.
Oh, my God.
There it is.
I'd like to plug Football Scout 365's YouTube channel. Also, we are going to be switching up brands here, guys. The 5-Tool brand that you've come to know and love. We're going to be joining the Football Scout 365 family. And we've been making some video content as of late. Go check out where me and Brandon have been breaking down the draft prospects. So go check out the YouTube channel, guys. Football Scout 365. We got videos on Kenny Pickett, Kenneth Walker, Jameson Williams. We got all these prospects coming at you. And we're starting to get some buzz. Other people are liking it. You should, too. But without further ado, we got the substitute. CJ McLaughlin. Class is in session. Everybody take out a pencil and a piece of paper. Pop quiz.
Fellas. All right, so 5-2 sports. Oops.
Football Sorry. Scout 365.
Doesn't matter.
The Football Scout 365 trivia question today. I like to keep it current. You know, I like to kind of bridge the gaps where I can, make it relevant. And so, the Kansas City Chiefs win over the Buffalo Bills this past weekend has them going to their third consecutive conference championship game. Since 2010, there have been two other teams to make three consecutive conference championship appearances. Who are those two other teams? I'll read it one more time. Since 2010, there's been two other teams to make three consecutive conference championship appearances. Who are those teams? And
consecutive, huh?
Patriots consecutive.
Would you say, Nate?
Patriots are one.
Okay, that's a good guess. Anyone else want to give me another guess?
Patriots and
Saints, maybe? No?
No. They've had early round trouble.
Patriots and Seahawks.
That's another good guess.
49ers. Because NFC Championship. Yeah. NFC Championship Super Bowl. No, maybe it was only two. I'm probably wrong. Maybe it is three.
No,
they lost in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So that's one year. I know that.
But was that before or after Seattle won?
I think it was three conference championships, to be honest.
I thought it went because Seattle went to back-to-back Super Bowls, and then the following year they lost to the Niners in the NFC Championship, I thought.
Didn't Peyton Manning go 3 in a row and lose?
No.
All right, so far, Nate, you gave me the New England Patriots. You also gave me the Seattle Seahawks. Brandon, you've given me the San Francisco 49ers. All good guesses. What do you want to give me somewhere?
All wrong.
Anyone want to throw?
Give me the – come on. Yeah, I know the Patriots is one, pretty sure.
Yeah, because they lost to the Broncos.
And then the Chiefs. Oh, you said besides the Chiefs.
Duh. Yeah.
Chiefs you agree. Chiefs are one.
Rams.
Back what?
In the Kurt Warner Rams.
No. Since 2010, bro. Did you listen to the 2010? Question?
Nah, he didn't. He gave me the Rams. Right. He gave me the Chiefs. It's all good, Woody. All
right, give me the Colts, Peyton Manning.
Look, I know. If the question has more than 40 characters, I might lose a few of you guys. So, so one of the answers is the New England Patriots, which is just crazy. We forget this. They went to the AFC Championship game 7 consecutive seasons.
That's insane.
From
that is insane.
2011 to 2018. That's insane. And then, Brandon, you really got to stop listening to people talking you out of the correct answer. This is the second time 49ers. In 3 weeks Woody has talked you out.
I didn't talk him out of the 49ers. That was
the Saints. It was the Saints.
No, it's the Niners.
It's the Niners.
Okay. That's the You're Niners. Right.
Yeah, that wasn't me.
Because the Niners lost to the Seahawks back-to-back and then went.
When Harbaugh was there from 2011 to 2013, they went 3 consecutive years. Now, I told you guys this may start a roundtable discussion. Some of these numbers in conference championship games. Okay, well, first and foremost, since, thank God Aaron Rodgers lost. Now I know what Cowboy haters feel like because it blessed my soul to see him lose the other day. I was so happy. I almost started crying a little bit. He's 0-4 versus the 49ers in the postseason. So that's I just want to throw that out there. He's also in conference championship games. He's played in 5.
Oh, it is an Aaron Rodgers hate fest.
He's 1-4 in those games. He's complete 65% of his passes, 9 touchdowns to 8 interceptions in conference championship games. I'm not done yet, though. Tom Brady in conference championship games. Now, he's 10-4, great record, 61% completion percentage, 21 touchdowns to 17 interceptions.
Tom's been blessed with great defenses.
So, I just want to make it. I've heard some really good arguments on why Tom Brady is not the GOAT. The best I've ever heard present that argument was Chris Sims, right? And when you think about all of the circumstances, all of the things that had to happen for Tom Brady to get to where he's at, whether it's missed kicks or made kicks, or just big plays by, the New England Patriots defense. Like, one could make the case that, hey, Tom Brady, yes, he's the greatest winner we've ever seen in the NFL. But someone could make the case, hey, he's not the greatest quarterback we've ever seen here in the NFL. So,
well, I mean, yeah, the debate here is kind of like what I was saying to you guys yesterday. Is situationally, yesterday we had seen how the Bucs, crap the bed at the end of the game with that defensive play call. Do you think Bill Belichick makes a defensive play call like that? I don't know. He's not bringing pressure like that. I can tell That's you that. Yeah. And he's going to be more calculated throughout the game. And like Woody was saying, you benefit from those great defenses. And it's a team game, guys. Brady can bridge some gaps. So can Rodgers. All the great quarterbacks can, but it's a team game. And those guys all feed off of one another. And Brady's one of those guys that can do that for you.
And well, I'm glad you said that, Brandon, because that's kind of where I stand with it, right? Like, a lot of us casual fans, we forget it's 11-on-11 football. It's the ultimate team sport. right? It takes everyone from the top to the bottom to win a championship. So I'm not saying Tom Brady isn't the GOAT. I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers isn't one of the three or four most talented quarterbacks we've ever seen. But these numbers put it all to perspective that, like, hey, it's football. Guys got to tackle. Guys got to catch. Guys got to block. Special teams got to be special. There's so much has to happen.
Yeah, yesterday you had to see the Bucs have a short field. They weren't taking it a long way against that defense. So getting a short field a few times saved them.
Yep.
All right, well, let's talk about the actual game. Los Angeles Rams 30, Tampa Bay Buccaneers 27. This game was a lot closer than it should have been. At one point, it was 20-3, Rams over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, man, they came roaring back. Now, I've been a Rams defender the entire year, but it's time to actually put some criticism on the table for young Sean McVay. Listen, Sean McVay, he is a game planner as it gets. He is one of those guys where he's going to scheme up the perfect game plan that he sees for the week before, and he's going to stick to that game plan no matter how south it goes. And that's his problem. In-game adjustments have been his problem. But he has a winning formula. He always holds that lead when he goes into the first half of the lead. That's his style. He likes to go in the first half of the lead, run the ball down. But what I want to know is Cam Akers looked great. That's fine. Running hard against Arizona, surprisingly. Coming back from an injury, it's unbelievable. Why, after one fumble already, are you not giving Sony Michel, who led the NFL in rushing the last 6 weeks of the season, one carry in that game and giving a dude fresh off an ACL 24 carries for 44 yards?
No. Yeah, I mean,
Achilles.
Worse.
Yeah, worse.
Yeah.
Like, that is ridiculous stubbornness right there. It's unbelievable. Why would you do that?
You're probably, if you're McVay, you're looking at Akers and you're thinking, this guy, like, in, you know, in practice and the way you feel about Akers and you've seen him, he's just a different level of a player than Sony Michel running the football. Like, the way that he is between the tackles against the Bucs, that's what you want. But there's some liability to that when you're running hard between in traffic that you may turn over the football like that. So
not
Michel
can
do it. Yeah, I mean, Michel can do that too, but Michelle's not as – he just does not have what Cam Akers has, that's for sure.
Led the NFL in rushing the last 6 weeks of the season.
I feel your point, Woody. I feel your point.
It's hard to decipher. I understand.
Exactly.
24 carries for 44 yards.
I would and look, Sony Michel probably would have gave you the same thing just because Tampa Bay is hard to run against. So I feel what you're saying, Woody. I'm not disagreeing with you. But I also I'm in agreement with Brandon because, look, McVay's being there. He's there. We don't know what he sees at practice. We know, Woody, how much you personally love Cam Akers and the talent that he is.
I do.
So it's hard to bite that bullet if you're McVay and say, you know what? Let's put in Sony Michel. But as I said, you know, no matter however you want to slice it, we can say, okay, you know, those fumbles didn't have anything to do with, you know, his 17-week layoff. It did. It did. You can't take that many weeks off and come in and look, it's playoff football. So, I mean, there's definitely some rust there. So I feel you from that standpoint, Woody. And look, it almost cost him.
Hey, Bucks made plays too. And Ndamukong Suh stripped him on that one.
Ndamukong Suh was playing like a man possessed yesterday.
Yeah. And so was Aaron Donald. So it was like tit for tat on both sides. Yeah.
If I'm Sean McVay and I believe that Cam Akers is the solution moving forward and he is fresh off an injury, he has not had that many touches and he hasn't had football snaps, real-time snaps in a long time. And I believe that the game is out of hand and we're going to be able to run the ball downhill and the lead really isn't in question. I continue feeding him the ball. Get him reps.
No, I just led the league in rushing, you know, last 6 weeks. I feel you, but like I love Cam Akers more than the next guy. And it's just he led the league in rushing the last 6 weeks. You just don't strip a player of that, you know. Let's talk about Aaron Donald, though, because this was a truly dominant performance that we saw on the defensive side of the ball. And what I mean, You know I love tooting my own horn. But before the game last week, on last week's episode, I said Aaron Donald is the exact type of player that ruins Tom Brady's day. Because he's not going to roll outside. When he can give you pressure up the middle, yeah, which he gave him seven hurries and a sack, that's what he did to Brady. Brady, he didn't let him feel comfortable in the pocket. Yeah, the man was just a beast.
They moved him all over the line, too, not just in the middle. And yeah, he was wreaking havoc everywhere.
I also want to point out that even because they had to slide the line towards Aaron Donald and help out with Aaron Donald, Von Miller was wreaking havoc. He only finished with one sack, but he was back there often. And then, you know, the big play, the strip sack towards the end, which, you know, the Rams come down and they snap the ball right over Stafford's head. So I don't know what to even think about this game. Look, when they were down, 27-3, I put $20 on Tampa.
Well, you were dumb. You should listen to the man over here.
Almost won a few $100. I mean, hey.
Almost worse than horseshoes.
Can we give Matthew Stafford? We got to give Matthew Stafford some credit, though.
We do.
Except for missing that
snap. He made plays. Well, yeah, but I think it had a lot to do with the crowd noise as well at the end. I know they were trying to point that out, Collinsworth and them, that the crowd was actually back in the game and being super loud. And he was looking away at something else, and the center must have just thought, okay, it's time to snap it. You know,
that
silent
throw
count
that he made
some...
to Cooper Kupp, though, was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous. Yeah.
Right,
Nate, you spent a decade watching Matthew Stafford. Did you see growth from this man yesterday? What's the difference between
First half, Matthew Stafford looked amazing. Second half, Matthew Stafford looked like he played for the Detroit Lions.
Except for that last 2 minutes.
No. Matthew Stafford for the Lions is incredible. Matthew Stafford leads the league of active players with fourth quarter comebacks because he played for the Lions.
Yeah, now, before we move on from the Rams, man, we got to give some love to Odell here. Odell's not getting enough love. Like, how long have we said, you know, this man's washed?
His dad was right.
We have some Baker we have some Baker apologists on this podcast that need to say, I'm sorry, Odell Beckham. It was Baker Mayfield's fault. You should be sorry.
I'm not sorry for Baker Mayfield throwing the football with his arm detached from his body.
What about the first two seasons?
Well, yeah, that there's an aspect to his game.
I mean, you need to be apologizing too, what do you?
For what?
What do you mean for what? What do you mean for what?
What do I mean for what?
Yeah, Woody.
Bro, ever since OBJ, look, you like running with the stories, you know. OBJ gets tests, all kinds of stuff. I mean, he's not the same.
He
don't love football anymore.
He's not the same.
All this stuff, and now OBJ, yeah, he's proving a lot of people wrong, but Woody, I think you might be on that wagon too, man.
He might be getting a lot more of that type of action.
CJ likes to say you get caught up in the stories. You see the tape, Woody?
You see the tape?
Listen, man. Hey, look. Look, I didn't you see think he caught it with his hands? Oh, you think he caught it with his chest?
Oh my gosh. Caught it with his chest. One-handed.
Oh yeah, that's how he did it.
That's how he did it.
Gosh. That's interesting.
But man, him and Stafford are starting to get some great, great chemistry. Like on the sidelines, that stop route where he stopped in front of the defender and caught it for the first down in the red zone. That was a beautiful play in such a short little amount of time. OBJ may be the difference maker for the Rams if they end up making a run here and going to the Super
Bowl. Well, OBJ's putting money back in his wallet, too, because I don't think the Rams will have the money to be able to sign him next year. No. So OBJ's going to hit the market, and he's still relatively young, so he'll be able to command a 3-4 year deal that's upwards of, you know, $15 to $20 million a year. So
I saw Brady whispering to him at the end, so.
There you go,
bro. No. I can dance too.
On like, hey, can we all agree that the Rams have the more talented team on both sides of the ball on going into Sunday?
They did. Absolutely, without a shadow. Yeah. It's an all-star team.
Like,
and Matthew Stafford.
Okay, so is the Bucks though. Let's like.
They're
at full strength
and everywhere.
That
offensive line is
not at full strength.
No, timeout. If Tristan Wirfs plays, we have a different game on our hands.
Do we?
Absolutely.
I think so.
They attack that side. They absolutely attacked that side.
You did have to bring Gronk in and Brate, and you were a lot of times using those guys as blockers more than you were as pass catchers. Yeah. They had to do it.
Like, well, look, I'm no excuses.
Do we really get a different game? Do we really?
Thank you.
Are we forgetting the game was 27-3?
Yeah. We might get a slightly different game.
A slightly different game. Exactly. Tristan Wirfs there.
Which does it slightly help? Means it maybe they
slightly
win.
Slightly different. Like it was a field
goal. One more
game.
Touchdown.
Slightly different is a Bucks win.
Cooper Kupp absolutely justifying his offensive player of the year.
CJ fumbled in key moment. Mm.
Oh yeah. The 60-yard game winning bomb wasn't good enough for you.
It made up for it in my book.
Yeah.
If CJ likes him, I like him.
Are we going to touch on the Bucks defense?
What about it? They had no secondary.
AB could have been there playing. He put AB a corner.
I apologize. 49ers, Packers.
49ers and Packers. The 49ers played the ugliest game ever and made it to the NFC Championship.
That's what you got to do.
Hey, look. Something I want to highlight. Something that we highlighted. 5-6 weeks ago, it was a Monday night game, Chicago Bears versus the Green Bay Packers, and we talked about how alarming it was in that first half that Chicago kept it close. I think they were actually winning late in the first half, and then the Packers just turned it on, and Green Bay special teams played absolutely pathetic. Remember Jakeem Grant had a return for a touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
You remember all that? Look at that. And I go back to what I said last week. This season tells us everything we need to know. We just have to find out when it told us those things. Dallas, right? Undisciplined. We saw that throughout the year. They were sitting at home. Green Bay, bad special teams. Look at the reason why they're sitting at home.
Three-phase game, man. Three.
Exactly.
Where's my camera at? Dang it.
When was the last time a blocked punt determined the outcome of a game? It's been a while since a special teams play like that has determined the outcome of a game. I feel like that happened a lot more 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, for sure. And if it did help anybody out, if I had to guess, it was probably the Patriots because, I don't know, they're just good on defense and special teams generally.
Ravens, Ed Reed used to make some big
He did. He did. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the 49ers. Before we talk about the 49ers, the Packers next year. What's this team without Aaron Rodgers? Like, say Jordan Love takes over, and they still have the same weapons. I mean, I imagine if Aaron Rodgers leaves, Davante Adams is gone. Well, like this, does this team win a game next year?
Bro,
with Jordan Love and no Davante Adams?
Let's crawl before we walk. I mean, is he coming back? Let's not even talk like he's not coming back. Do y'all think he's coming? What do you guys think is gonna happen?
I think he's gonna go to the Broncos or the Raiders.
He made it. You know, he said during the post game that he wants to play for a team that's not. He doesn't want to be in a rebuild. So if the Packers are gonna go that route and they can't retain guys, then he wants out. But if they retain guys, even for a year, then maybe he stays for one more.
Yeah. Well, Green Bay.
He goes to the Broncos. Like his girl, the actress, she lives in Colorado when she's not acting.
Green Bay isn't the type of organization. Like, I mean, they haven't had a rebuild in 30 years. You know
what
I'm saying?
Thanks to Brett Favre and to Aaron Rodgers.
To Aaron Rodgers.
Imagine hitting on two of the top 10 quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah. You know, I think it's awesome because everything was like, you know, pillows and hunky dory because the Packers were winning. Aaron Rodgers seemed happy, but then we're back to where we were the last couple years, right? Good team, you make it to a point in the playoffs, and then you lose. Everything was peaches and cream before, okay, and now you lost. So now this is where we get random Aaron Rodgers. We don't know what we're going to get. We don't know if he's going to be happy next week. We don't know if he's going to be pissed. I'm excited.
Yep. It's not going to matter, though, this next week because it'll be at home. But
it'll be at home.
But I guess it's a good time to talk about the 49ers and Rams. The 49ers have beat the Rams twice this year. You know how hard it is to beat an NFL team three times in one season?
It's going to happen.
I don't know. Ask the Saints last year.
It's gonna happen.
Oh yeah. Good call.
Well, let's make the picks. What's the opener here?
Making a pick.
Yeah. NFC Championship, baby. The Rams are giving 3.5 points to a team that's beat them twice.
I'm gonna go Rams here. That star power is Same. Starting to play like stars.
Yep.
And then. Yeah. And I mean, look, the Super Bowl is in SoFi Stadium. That's even more reason. I mean.
But the 49ers have stolen that crowd every single time.
Well, they actually, there's an article that was put out.
There is a block on it. They're trying
to block San Francisco fans.
They're trying, but San Francisco fans are going to get creative, I guarantee it, and they're still going to pack that place. So it's not even a home field advantage. So I wouldn't worry too much.
I got the Rams still. Great point. I got the Rams.
3.5, Woody?
3.5.
Oh, man. Debo's ankle.
Do you really trust Jimmy G?
I don't trust Jimmy G at all. I don't think Kyle Shanahan can overcome the injuries. Like, I don't trust Jimmy G, but I trust Kyle Shanahan, but I don't think he can overcome the injuries that they have on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, let's be real. If Debo's ankle's banged up, like, he's not taking balls out of the backfield with a banged up ankle running up the middle. Like, it's unbelievable what he's doing running the ball as a running back. But I don't see him being able to run through arm tackles like that with an ankle.
No, for sure.
Trent Williams, not 100% either.
That's the one. That's the one, CJ, you hit running that. We think Brady's bad when you get pressure on him. Jimmy G's worse.
Bengals, Titans. Bengals 19, Titans 16. This game was ugly. It was an ugly game. There's a lot of field goals. Bengals are justified taking that kicker in the fifth round. Brandon, you mentioned that the other day. And he's won them their last 2 weeks.
He got some onions too, boy.
He's got some onions.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll make you cry. Titans.
Bro, you know what? I think this game comes down to the tale of two quarterbacks. You've got Joe Burrow, who did exactly what was asked of him, didn't turn over the ball at an excessive rate, and you've got Ryan Tannehill that was asked to do too much because they could not get the ground game going. And that's the game.
We all thought we were going to see Derrick Henry, but you know, it's Derrick Henry coming off a serious injury.
Yeah.
He did. Ryan, he looked Tannehill pretty good.
He looked better than I expected him to look, but he wasn't all there. He wasn't Derrick Henry. He wasn't King Henry.
You'd think maybe they would have ran the ball at Deontay Foreman a little bit more. Like, he busted a super long run. Like, it just, you know,
four rushes for 66 yards, Deontay Foreman's.
I think, like, 40 of those came on one.
Look, the more you have Deontay Foreman on the field giving him the ball, the more you have Derrick Henry on the sideline. All right.
Yeah.
You give me Derrick Henry all day. I won't regret anything. Anything that happens, I'll live with it. Tennessee, ultimately, they had a chance to, you know, win this game. So
Mike Vrabel was given the coach of the year before the game, but this was the coach of the year bowl. I feel like Zach Taylor's like, nah, this is mine, son.
Yeah, they should have waited till after.
Yeah, right? Yeah, the Bengals, Joe Burrow, even though he didn't throw a touchdown pass in this game, like, he hit just when they needed it. 28 to 37, 348 yards. That pick was very unfortunate. It was a tip ball pick. It wasn't even his. It wasn't the best thrown ball, but it wasn't his fault. I mean, Joe Burrow's really putting this team on his back. Besides the early run, Joe Mixon as well. Like, we got to give that man some credit.
Got sacked 9 times, so.
Thanks. I was going to get to that, Brandon. Yup.
Offensive line, man, reared its ugly face.
It's bad, man. It's bad. And for Joe to keep his composure, to really not, like, you know, pull a Jimmy G or Matt Stafford or any quarterback who gets pressured at that rate, they usually like to throw it to the other team. You know, Joe Burrow ate a lot of those sacks if it wasn't anything there. And a lot of times he didn't have any type of time. So, you know, Mike Vrabel did a great job, you know, dialing up the pressure and whatnot, getting to Joe Burrow.
Jonathan Simmons was a beast.
He was. He had three of the sacks.
His brother Jeffrey was good too.
Thank you. Yes, Jeffrey Simmons.
But look, whenever you can hold a high-powered offense like the Cincinnati Bengals to 19 points, you like your chances. Brandon made a good point this weekend. He was like, hey, Joe Burrow's a top 10 quarterback. It ain't no debate. It's no debate.
Top five.
100%.
Oh, my God.
Hey, he's there's a debate for top five. But someone could argue that for sure. I'm right there with
you. You could probably make a convincing argument to.
But unanimously, he's top 10. Unanimously, sure. Like they can't. No one argue that. Anyone want to argue Joe Burrow or Dak Prescott or Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson? It's Joe Burrow all day. I mean,
yep.
Mm-hmm. I just want to. There's one play that sticks out of my head. My head that defines the way Tennessee's night went, which was. Ryan Tannehill, swing pass to the running back, right into Mike Hilton's face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe Burrow, I mean, let's be real. He's already got more playoff wins than Dak Prescott.
And Ryan Tannehill and Lamar Jackson.
Bills, Chiefs, the greatest football game I've ever watched in my life.
Yeah.
Not the greatest. Is it really the greatest?
Bro,
are we stuck in the moment?
Brandon.
We need to frame things better than it's the greatest game I've ever seen. It's the greatest game at the highest level, obviously. Obviously, it's a moment, but Tom Brady against the Falcons, it gets no better than what
this game was. I'm ready to live in this moment right now.
No, I am living in this moment, but that was terrible defense on top of it, too. So there was just too many things happening.
So giving up a 28-3 lead wasn't terrible defense?
That's the difference between having Bill Belichick. Hey, listen. The marginal difference, Bruce Arians and Bill Belichick, is Bill Belichick would have won yesterday's game as the coach of the Bucs. Him and his staff would have won that game yesterday versus – it's a marginal thing. Arians and his staff lost that game at the end, period. They lost. They gave up their chance at overtime and everything by not playing it the correct way. Maybe the Rams still find a way to get in field goal range if they play off, right?
Well, I do have a couple Bills fans on my Facebook feed, and they're calling for Leslie Frazier's head because playing off on him like that, playing off on Reek, letting him get open across the middle, it was a rookie mistake at the end of the game.
Yeah, end of regulation. I will. Yeah. If we're talking about greatest game ever played, I think we can't forget the Rams Chiefs matchup in 2018.
Oh, that was a barn burner. But this was the
54-51.
Oh yeah,
I
remember.
This is two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL going back and forth, throwing touchdown after touchdown. Like literally, it was like a dance battle. It was like you got served on the field. It was like. Patrick's over here, pop locking, presents to the crowd like, "What's up?"
And then
Josh Allen's like, "I got you," and he just started.
It was such a good game.
The amount of emotion that came from that game, as watching it,
Nate was at a Bills bar.
Tell us. I was at a Bills bar in LA.
How high and low was it?
It went from the world, nothing can stop us, to Tyreek Hill scoring, to what the heck just happened, to Josh Allen a minute leading a drive with a minute on the clock, to 13 seconds left in the clock. And I'm watching this game and I'm like, it's not over. Just breathe, Bills fans. And they didn't squib it. There were a lot of miscues on the last drive in the regulation, man.
I would have paid to have been in that Bills bar. After the game, like no one pulled the.
You should have had a Mahomes
jersey
on underneath.
Because I've seen some upset Bills Mafia. They do some crazy stuff.
Like I have a question for everyone. Going into overtime, if the Bills win that coin toss, do they also win the game?
Yes.
Is that where we're going with this? Like this it doesn't matter.
The NFL needs to change their overtime rules. It's been needed to be changed. You should have the chance to respond. If they score a touchdown and you're in a barn burner, they would have scored a touchdown too. I really think that it could have gone for like three drives back and forth.
Of course. But now y'all just sound like old grouchy man. And y'all say I sound like
I am an old grouchy man.
Like, look.
You did a 10-minute segment on why Aaron Rodgers sucks.
Look, this is the thing. First of all, the Chiefs and the Bills, last time I checked, they played with the same set of rules. All right, so it's unfortunate that essentially the winner came down to a coin flip at the end. But what makes football so great is that it's offense and it's defense.
Yeah.
The Bills didn't get a stop. All right. That's what it came down
to. It's offense, defense, and special teams.
Exactly.
Kick the ball short and make them burn clock.
There you go.
That's where I'm at. Like I get everyone who wants the overtime. Like I understand where you're coming from, but the reality is the Bills shouldn't have lost that game. And they should never hit overtime.
The Bills, obviously, they lost their assistant GM.
He's the new GM to the Pack, to the Giants. Shout out the big man in blue.
And he's so excited.
I actually am excited. They've drafted really well over the past few years. They've made a good team. I think it's a good choice. Now, who they pick as the coach, I thought they were leaning towards Brian Flores, which I was super excited about. But it looks like they're waiting for Brian Daboll to see what he's going to do after the season.
No, I don't like it. That's bad. That's a terrible hire.
No. I don't know. It gives me a little hope. It gives me a little hope. Brian Daboll could simplify an offense for a strong arm quarterback like Daniel Jones. That's my only hope for it.
Hey, look. You see how Josh Allen is Superman on that Bills offense? Josh Allen's success is not a correlation with Daboll. I don't believe it. I believe Daboll is lucky having Josh Allen as opposed to Josh Allen having him.
Because Josh Allen is centered around a playmaker. But Josh Allen's growing though.
Daniel Jones is not Josh Allen, nowhere close to him. I get the athleticism. I get the arm, but to have that ability, you know, when the play break down, that has nothing to do with Daboll. That's all Josh Allen. And for the last couple seasons, I've said about the Bills and their inability to stay on schedule, to have just a normal drive. Let's run the ball. Let's just be basic with it and score points. Whenever they score, Josh Allen has to do something incredible on that drive for them to get the ball down the field.
The Giants have Saquon Barkley.
Nate.
Daboll's going to look. Watch.
Nate, did you say Josh Allen was the smart one because Daniel Jones went to Duke? And Josh Allen went to Wyoming, but I'm not saying or trying to knock it, but it's hilarious.
Josh Allen only went because it's the only place that would offer him a scholarship.
You're right. You're 100%. But Duke.
Fresno State.
Jones is not a dummy.
Fresno State, he had an offer from Wyoming, and he went to Fresno State and said, please make me an offer. And they said, we don't want you.
Yeah, nobody. Yeah.
Dang.
Can you believe that? There's NFL teams, too, that felt that way about him. Oh, he's just a big arm.
Oh yeah, no,
I felt that way too.
I do want to point out this. I think CJ's right, and I think Woody's right. It's a combination. CJ's right that Josh Allen is special. Woody's right that Brian Daboll did help develop Josh Allen's talent.
I believe. Here's
the thing. My question is Daniel Jones too far gone to recover? Because Daniel Jones is really messed up right now. He's gone through. This is a second head coach, third offense he's been in.
Third year, yeah.
Okay, like, go give me Malik Willis on the Giants
with
Brian Daboll, and let's see it happen.
Daboll's not making an answer.
You're probably right, CJ,
because there's just not enough infrastructure on the Giants yet to make it happen. If they drafted Malik Willis,
you don't think a coach like Daboll would be good to bring along a running quarterback?
He would be, but I see CJ's point.
I just don't think Daboll's the guy, man. I don't think he's the guy.
He likes Flores.
Brian Flores. I like Brian Flores to the Giants.
I like Flores too. I don't think Daboll is who we think he is. I just don't. The Bills can't run the ball. It's not like they protect Josh Allen. They lost to the Jaguars 9-6 earlier. Yeah. They didn't score a touchdown. They couldn't get 7 points versus Jacksonville, man.
This offense is loaded.
Tell me Dawson Knox not a weapon. Tell me Gabriel Davis catches 20 yards, 4 touchdowns. Emmanuel Sanders, Stephon Diggs. Don't tell me this offense is not like that.
And the Giants don't have that.
And they don't. And to me, this Bills offense still underachieved this year because they were inconsistent. Yep. I don't want that. Give me Joe Judge instead.
Here's what we'll say. The Bills offense the last 4 weeks is the most consistent it's been all season, which is crazy. But they peaked at the right time and they just ran into the Kansas City wall.
I agree.
Bengals and Chiefs. Now let me give you all a little reminder. Bengals 34, Chiefs 31.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow threw for 446 yards and 4 touchdowns. Ja'Marr Chase had 11 receptions for 266 yards and 3 touchdowns. This was the last time they played, a couple weeks, and it wasn't that long ago, about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how's this game going to go? Now, let's be real here. The Chiefs are not going to sack Joe Burrow 10 times.
They might. They might.
Think so?
They didn't a few weeks ago. I get that. But look, this Cincinnati offensive line is bad. And Chris Jones can be a game changer in there in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't expect look, what happened a few weeks ago, I don't expect to happen again. Kansas City, just to, you know, kind of jog everyone's memory, Kansas City went out to a 14-0 lead. Looked like they're about to blow their doors off of Cincinnati, but Cincinnati stayed around. And, you know, as you just talked about, Woody, Joe Burrow put up all those yards. The receivers had huge games, but I think it'll be a good game. But I think they like this matchup because of that Cincinnati Bengals offensive line.
You got to give Melvin Ingram some credit here, too, for lifting that Kansas City pass rush. When he went to Pittsburgh, he didn't fit in that well, but he came to Kansas City, really picked it up, helped them a lot. Tyrann Mathieu, if he doesn't.
He has to clear concussion protocol.
Which in the postseason, that's not the same concussion protocol in the regular season.
I'm good.
It's true, yeah.
I mean, it's supposed to be probably, but come on.
Do you have a headache? Nope.
I'm a little freaked out here because KC's getting giving away 7 points from the jump after the Bengals beat them 4 weeks ago.
I'm concerned because, you know, ever since the postseason started, all of a sudden just, you know, this crazy spread with this new variant just stopped in the NFL.
Well, they got rid of all the testing.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they're like, all right, we're going to stop testing everyone in the playoffs.
Well, the players were complaining, and they complained to the player union, and boom.
Let me play asymptomatic.
They're like, yeah.
I'll be sneezing on Brady every chance I got if I sack him.
Punched in the lip yesterday.
I mean, this Kansas City team, the craziest part about this Kansas City team is we're not seeing like over-dominated force throws to Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. We're starting to see Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce in the big moments, but the guys that are scoring early are Byron Pringle, Jerick McKinnon. Like, these are the dudes that are affecting the game early on. And then we're seeing them saving, which Andy Reid, you can see growth from him as a coach. Saving his best players for the biggest moments.
Can I piggyback off of that, Woody?
Please.
So I think it's crazy to think that Patrick Mahomes is still getting better, right? A couple years ago.
It really is.
We would have never thought coverage. But, you know, and
he's taking what the defense gives him now. He doesn't have to be Superman all the time.
He is. And I said this before the show. He's really starting to channel his inner Drew Brees. From this standpoint, he's learning how to manipulate the defense. And he's always been a good manipulator, right? But now he manipulates with a certain level of patience, right? You can really see he's back there playing chess now. And I think that is like that next level that Patrick Mahomes has hit and will continue to kind of trend that way. As far as all the, you know, the tools, he has all of those, right? But to see him kind of be patient, and as you just talked about, Woody, wait, just get the ball in the hands of the players that he needs to get the ball into, right? Mm-hmm. Hill, he's double covered. Don't force it. Let me just get it to Pringle. Let me get it to Mecole out here in the flats. And then when the fourth quarter gets here, when they need that big completion, when it's 3rd and 10, he finds Travis Kelce. He finds, you know, how to get the ball in Hill's hands. And then Andy Reid, man, on, look, 3rd and short, 4th and short. So many times this year I've saw Kansas City Chiefs, that offense, run the same exact play where they bring Hill in motion, a little speed motion, and then they just throw like a little pass, a little speed out, right? Tyreek Hill. They ran that last night, but instead of Tyreek Hill ran out to the flats, all right? Everyone for the Bills defense, Hill's getting the ball in the flats. Kelce ran like a 10-yard little set route, wide open. Andy Reid, he's a genius. You hold on to plays like that until the end. You hold on to plays like that the entire season.
I want to point out, to touch on what you just said real briefly here, you got Andy Reid who can draw things up like that and scheme things up, and then you've got Patrick Mahomes who on the fly can just make anything happen on the move. So when it breaks down and it doesn't work, this guy is a magician on the field. It's like, how do you stop it? You just, it's hard.
We got to put some more respect on his name. Like, honestly, it's, I mean, if for whatever reason, we've wanted to come off Patrick Mahomes like the last 2 years.
And love him.
No, it's true. One of my favorite looks I've ever seen from a coach was when, after that last Gabriel Davis touchdown, it showed Andy Reid. It looked like somebody snatched a pork chop off his plate. It was the funniest look I've ever
What was
seen.
It that Andy Reid said? Like, was it Nate?
He said, when it's grim, be the Grim Reaper. I love that.
Is that what he told him on that final
drive? That's what he told him.
Oh, my God.
He said, when it's grim, be the Grim Reaper. That's a mic drop.
So amazing.
That's a hell of a quote.
That's real stuff, though. Like, you're talking to a dude that lost, like, one of his sons to overdose on heroin. His other son's like looking at jail time.
Be honest with you, now I'm starting to think Andy Reid might be a serial killer or something.
And Pat Mahomes is like,
maybe
I'm gonna go do this. He was a Grim Reaper though on that final drive.
It was nuts.
Bills fans, he killed a bunch of Bills fans, I'm sure, last night.
That's a lot of black cloth.
The one question I have on this Kansas City Bengals matchup is, Jamar Chase isn't going 11 for 12, 266 yards. There's no way. He's not doing that again. Or is he?
Really?
Right?
I want to see him in the Debo role. Like, get him in the backfield.
Like, Jamar, if Kansas City can't contain Jamar Chase, Kansas City could be in trouble.
All right, guys, it's time for a name game. Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase?
Justin Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson.
Jamar Chase.
Give me Jamar Chase. Just because he's a little bit bigger.
50-50.
Yeah. Devontae Adams or Jamar Chase? We are taking age into consideration here.
Devontae Adams.
Oh, then Jamar Chase.
Jamar Chase. Yeah, he's 21.
Debo Samuel.
Or Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase.
Really? Wait, how old is Debo?
Debo's only 25.
Debo's hurt all the way.
You'll take Debo for all ten games.
Debo
season,
if Debo's never injured, you're right. I take Debo. But Jamar Chase isn't injured. Debo's been injured every single season.
I love everything Debo does.
No, I love Debo. He's a football player, bro. He's a football player's crush.
Tyreek Hill or Debo or Jamar Chase.
Tyreek Hill.
Dude, I'm taking Tyreek over every player. Hill. After what I've seen yesterday, give me a break.
Yo, give me Jamar Chase. Dude.
Like, all right, to be fair.
God, he's always healthy.
Tyreek Hill on that punt return.
Give me Jamar Chase.
I was like, so he. The more complete so they,
that
he
right there it. Tells you everything you needed to know,
like,
Nate.
Tyreek Hill ran that all like 80 yards down the field and then came back and did it again. There's no way he does
that. They kicked it to him the first time. And he's standing there. They kicked it to him again. And Andy Reid only uses him in punt return situations very sparingly. And this was like one of those crazy moments.
If I see Tyreek Hill in the backfield as a punter, I go, I'm kicking this out of bounds.
Yeah, look, this is the argument that I would make. And I'm not sure if I believe in this. But Tyreek Hill or Jamar Chase. All right. Tyreek Hill is... I mean, he's kind of like the special piece, right? You can plug him here, you can plug him there. But I'm gonna say this: Jamar Chase might be tougher to game plan for because Jamar Chase is a receiver.
He's a number one
and
wide receiver.
I feel like I'm taking you know some stuff away from Tyreek Hill.
Oh,
but
man.
I think Jamar Chase is a traditional receiver. I think if Jamar Chase was there, there's a chance Kansas City wouldn't have even been in that predicament because they still would have been able to get him the ball. I don't know.
Jamar Chase is a beast, man. But that's the line, right? Because the next guy to ask about is Stephon Diggs. And I think everyone in this chat is taking Jamar Chase over Stephon Diggs.
Oh yeah,
yeah, man. You make this so hard, man.
I'm not worried about Stephon Diggs.
And this isn't me stepping on Stephon Diggs. He's one of the best receivers.
No, I know. I know.
But Jamar Chase is special.
I can't. I can't defend
Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, I might be right there. I can't. I don't know. I'm gonna just stand on the block, the next bus come around, I might get on it or not. I don't know.
Yo, this is so. After that, it's Tyler Lockett. Deontay Johnson, DJ Moore, Mike Williams, but that's the line, right? That's it. They're like, none of those dudes are there.
No.
I didn't hear Chase Cooper. What about Cooper?
Well, Cooper, he's offensive player of the year. We're not going to.
I mean, Cooper Kupp is, you know.
Cooper Kupp is having one of the greatest seasons in NFL history. I want to see if it's an outlier. I want to see if he does it again next year and can stay healthy.
I will take Ja'Marr Chase over Cooper Kupp.
Why Cooper Kupp look like Jake Paul?
A little bit.
Why CJ think all blonde white boys look like Jake Paul?
No, he's right. I never thought of that.
All right, guys, before we wrap it up, Kansas City -7 versus the Cincinnati Bengals. Give me the baby Bengals.
Nah, I'm going Chiefs. This is going to be a 49ers and a Chiefs. 49ers Chiefs.
Falling in love window shopping.
Hey, look, we got some great games this past weekend. It's only right if it's followed up by, like, you know, at least one of these two games being a blowout. So I'm going to say Chiefs and Bengals. I like Chiefs covering the 7 points. I think they'll cover that spread.
Disrespect. Woody, we ride together here.
We ride.
But I'm going to go a step further. I'm going to say Bengals money line. I think the Bengals take it by three.
Woo! They did it a couple weeks ago. They might do it again.
I'm going to go even a step further. It's going to come down to who has the ball last.
Nasty Nate, it never fails. It never fails. I don't think you've ever picked for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs ever. I don't know if it's in your blood.
Will he be right?
Time out. I picked Browns over Chiefs, and I picked Bills over Chiefs last year.
Yep. The damn Mahomes.
Terrible.
I picked Chiefs against the Eagles.
Who would have known that Browns game would have. That was the window.
That was
Tom Flies, huh?
Yeah, right.
Chad that was Henne.
It. Chad Henne coming in, getting it done.
Fourth and two. Chad Henne stealing the.
That
soul
was Andy
from
Reid.
Cleveland.
Andy Reid out there.
Wow.
100%.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, guys, that was a hell of a show. That was a fun show. I had a good time. Check us out on YouTube, guys. That is where the hub is right now. The not that hub though, but the YouTube Football Scout 365. We got hot content coming there. We're doing
the P-Hub theme song. Yeah. Just drop it in there and just see what happens.
But yeah, check us out over there, man. We're moving most of our content over there. You might even see part of this show chopped up with the best takes, best moments, putting it out there. People seeing our faces, building brands. Hey. CJ's putting jewels in his hair.
Stop. I don't have no jewels on my hair.
Reality.
You ain't never going to wear that again, are you?
Hey, no, reality is there's going to be we're going to have a highlight video of all of Nate's ice cold takes in like a week, and it's just going to be 5 minutes of me just spouting.
That'd probably be our most popular video.
Look,
was so believing in it.
Bro, we need to hire an intern to go back and just listen to all of our
stuff. That's real.
But some type of college credit or whatever. We'll write a type of letter. But look, because I know it's some sound bites, you know, within the last year and a half.
Oh yeah,
it's some good sound bites in there. Some good ones and some bad ones. But good.
I wrote off the 49ers about 9 times this season.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Here we are at the NFC Championship. The 49ers
crazy,
are done. All right. That's going to wrap it up for us, y'all. Check out the YouTube. Big things coming. We'll see you some music. Yeah.
I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9 to 5 is something that I don't want to do. Sit in the cubicle.